Welcome to the Well Society Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Kay, licensed master level social worker and certified Christian health and life coach. I'm your professional go-to expert for all driven yes women who desire more energy, peace, and joy for the things and people she loves the most so she can be well, feel well, and do well while coming to the proverbial well of Jesus. Thanks for coming to the well today. I'm so glad you're here.
Welcome, everyone, to this special 12-part feature of the Holy Healthy Christian Moms podcast, the Wellness Legacy Series. So we are so excited to share with you the stories of our guests and believe that they are going to give you hope and encouragement, especially if you are going through a similar trial right now. So we want you to know that you are not alone. God sees you and hears you. And our prayer is that He will use this series to remind you of that in a very tangible way. Today, I'm so excited to introduce you to my good friend, Rachel G. Scott. Rachel is a wife, mother, and Ohio native. And as a writer, speaker, and entrepreneur, she has been featured nationally and internationally on platforms such as Family Life, TCT Television, and Propel Sophia. Growing up, Rachel always saw her weight as a struggle and, looking back, saw how that shaped a part of her identity and fueled an addiction to sugar. So again, Rachel, I'm so excited to have you on here. I know this time is just going to bless our listeners. So before we get into the wellness piece of things, we'd love for you to just share a brief overview of who you are, your family, and then we also love our guests to share a fun fact about themselves too.
Ooh, okay. So I think you gave a great overview, but I'm a writer, speaker. I have a podcast myself called Taking the Leap. I also have a brand agency. And what is a fun fact about me? I am plant-based. I think that's always fun because it shocks people. I'm plant-based. I like to honestly say like 95% because every once in a while I may have a little bit of fish or something, but my body definitely resonates more with the plant-based option.
Yeah, I do the same thing too. I'm like, I'm mostly plant-based, but yeah, most people are like, oh, scary. Right. Turn away, walk away.
Yes.
Very cool. So we're here to talk about you and some of your struggles and God's redeeming power in your life. So tell us a little bit about your story before you came to the place where you are now and what it was like being in that struggle.
Yeah. You know, when I was much younger, I went through a lot of, how can I put it, a process of realizing that I was struggling with my weight, but I didn't really have a solution to the struggle itself. I remember when I was in college, I had a friend who I'd gone to high school with, and she was like, Rachel, you are so good at losing weight. And I'm like, I wish I was good at keeping it off. So I did a lot of yo-yoing with my weight. I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm not good. And, you know, growing up, I would hear things like, okay, you're big boned, or, you know, I would look in the mirror and no matter what, I would see weights. I would see the fat. I would see my stomach. You know, there were certain areas in specific that I would see. And I'm like, that's a problem. And I actually did some one-on-one mentoring with Andrea, and that mentoring blessed me. But I want to talk about what led me to that. I came to a place in my life where I was like, I am tired of weight being at the top of my list, right? My husband, he calls it mental real estate. And there's different things in our life that take up mental real estate. And I didn't realize that since childhood, my weight had taken up mental real estate. So every time I would talk to a friend on the phone, we would always talk about our weight. We would always talk about what we needed to do with our weight. Like, man, we're having a lot of conversations about weight. I don't know what else to talk about with this friend outside of weight because it was taking up so much mental real estate in my life. And I was walking one day, and I'm like, God, I don't know what to do. I mean, I've tried all the weight programs that I knew to try. I've tried things on my own. I've lost weight. I've gained it back. What is the problem? And that's when he revealed to me it was something deeper, but I didn't even know how to tap into that deeper problem. And so I asked him what to do. And he was like, a health coach. Like, I've never, there's a Christian health coach out here. Like, okay. So what do you do when you're looking for something? You either go to Google or Instagram. So I went to Instagram and I typed in Christian health coach and I came across Andrea. So I reached out to her and we started the program. And the reason that this is such a significant part of the journey is because this had been going on for a couple of decades, right? Where I was just in this consistent struggle and this battle. And you talk to so many people who have the solution, right? The seeming solution to this weight journey, but then it doesn't work for you. And, you know, when we make it personal, when we say, God, I need the solution from you. Like, I'm seeing stuff on TV, but I need the solution from you. He's invited into that. And that was a moment where I invited God into my struggle. I can honestly say I never prayed and asked God for help. I mean, it seems so obvious, like, why wouldn't I? But I never prayed and asked God for help. But I invited him into the struggle and he showed up. So during my time of working, you know, working with Andrea, one of the things that came out of it is how far back my weight struggle went. And I thought that maybe it just started with teenage years, noticing that I was quote unquote overweight. And I was having this weight struggle, but I loved me some sugar and I love sweets and snacks and really did not have a vision for anything outside of that. And it went further back to my childhood when a close family member actually molested me. And after the molestation, he handed me a candy cane. And from that moment on, I remember candy and sweets became a part of something I enjoyed. Now, aside from that, it also was a very big part of my relationship with my father, because I really was raised by my father and my dad loved sweets. We connected through sweets. Like, he would make sweets. Even when he would come over, he would make bread, and it was like always a sweet, delicious bread. So there was this family connection outside of that moment that sweets became a part of my lifestyle. And it wasn't like the healthy sweets. It was the sugary sweets. So going back from that, moving forward, during our time together, I realized that that was a moment where sweets was introduced to me as almost a security. Like, it was a security that came from that. And so then moving forward into my adulthood, I realized that honestly, it was not providing me any security, but it was actually a crutch. And it was not only causing me not to see myself truly, but it was causing me to not become healthy. And so, yeah, that's kind of the journey.
It's interesting how you mentioned kind of the polarity of your relationship with sugar, how it came from a highly traumatic experience, but then at the same time, it came from a very beautiful relationship with your dad and the layers of that, you know, woven together. And as a child, you know, unable to make sense of that, but it's just there. Yeah.
So many moments, like even when my parents announced that they were getting divorced, my dad, he took me to the candy store. We got all of this candy and then we went to the park, and that's when he told my sister and I. So again, a moment of trauma connected to sweets, right? And I'm not thinking growing up that any of this is connected until it came time for it to be broken off as a security.
Yeah. When you stopped and asked yourself that question, like, why is this? Why do I keep yo-yoing? What's the answer? Like, what's the thing? And God's like, oh, it's deep.
It goes deeper. Roots. And what I love about God is he unpeels the onion layer, but he does it so carefully. You know, he didn't show me all of these things at once. It was like one step after another. Even some things I'm sharing now, Andrea probably hasn't even heard because I didn't even realize that then. But every layer that he unpeeled brought me deeper and deeper into connection with him, because as he revealed it to my heart, he's like, now surrender that to me. Now surrender that to me. But he didn't say, okay, these are all the reasons why you have a sugar addiction. He's like, I'm going to show the first one, then I'll reveal the next one.
Yeah, that speaks volumes to the character of God and just how he's not this authoritarian, you know, person. Like, he's so gentle and just loves us and just cares for our hearts and souls so deeply. Yeah.
It's so good that he's not like, I expect you to do like, so I think it's very easy for us to assume he wants perfection. And like, we have to be sanctified in a second instead of the lifelong process. I mean, I'm starting to come to terms with the fact it is a lifelong process.
It absolutely is. Yes.
And it's like, it's beautiful. It's frustrating. And I'm always like, thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. Like, oh, in that. I'm curious, like, as you think back, like even on your journey, in those moments of realization that God gave you, is having a little bit more time from, you know, where you were really doing that intense work, what do you think is the biggest hurdle you had to overcome to get you to even where you are now today?
You know, I think that I had to overcome the mindset that there was something wrong with me. That looking in the mirror, there's something wrong. And I remember when my husband asked me, he was like, Rachel, why do you think there's something wrong? Like, I always hear you say it as if it's a problem, but where did that come from? Why do you feel like there's something wrong? And having to really answer that question for myself, like, who said that there was something wrong with me? Whoever said it, you know, that belief system that had been formed from the trauma, from the good moments, from all of that, I had to really assess that.
That like just hit me, I don't know, in my gut, in my spirit, because I just see like, it's so easy for us to think that there is something wrong with us in a way that we're like not, that it creates that distance to God or something, that somehow we can't be in his presence, or that somehow we, I don't know, that it somehow disqualifies us from accessing what he has or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think I didn't really understand health. I understood dieting. I understood, you know, looking a certain way, meaning something. I understood the scale and the numbers, but I didn't understand healthy. And those are two or three totally different things. And I had to learn what healthy actually looked like. And when I look back over, you know, the course of my life, I was always pursuing healthy, but I didn't know how to accomplish that because I was being trained in diet. Mm-hmm. So my pursuit was healthy. I wanted to feel good. So there were two moments in my life where I knew I needed to shift some things. One of them was I had been kind of diagnosed with pre-diabetes. So I was dealing with that diagnosis, but I knew something was wrong when that diagnosis did not scare me. I still kept doing what I was doing because I didn't really have a gauge of what to do differently. I'm like, okay, cut this out. But I was not committed enough to cut it out. And then the second thing was I would have a struggle with my cycle every month. And the only time I didn't have that challenge was when I didn't eat meat. And that challenge went on for probably, it started after I had my son. So it went on, I want to say maybe 5 or 6 years. And I still would eat meat, even though I knew the pain that I had connected to it. And then there was this one time where the pain was so bad, I went to the emergency room. And of course, they, you know, they really couldn't pinpoint it because I think it was really spiritual. I think it was not that God was doing it, but he was like, I want you to be healthy. I want you to live in divine health. But hey, this is a partnership. It takes both of us. Like, I'm going to do my part, but I need you to do yours too. And I think looking back, those were two moments where I was like, what is going on? Why am I not responding to the obvious problems in my health? Because I just have to have this sugar. So those were just like two major moments.
Yeah. So what you're saying, I just want to say, like, say it again for the people in the back, because it's such a common, all of what you're saying is so common. And it's, Andrea and I were talking about this theme the other day, but it's like the spin cycle. You get in this spin cycle and it just goes round and round and round. And you're like, how do I stop this? Where do I get off? I'm tired of it, but you don't know where to begin. You know, so this is a question, but do you believe that God desires for all of us to have that divine health in him?
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to my husband last night about the scripture that says, you know, I want you to prosper and be in good health just as your soul prospers, and how he literally addresses our health in that scripture, and how difficult it is when we are on assignment for the kingdom to fulfill that assignment while not being healthy. One of my greatest struggles was that I didn't have energy. I was always so tired. And it was all related to that, but it was impacting me on mission. And I had to realize that my mission and my time here on earth, I get this amount, this little bit amount of time that is going to serve in eternity. Like, I need to take this seriously. And I don't think that we know all the time what our mission is, so we don't take it seriously. And there's other times where we minimize the impact of being healthy and how that contributes to us really being able to fulfill the assignment that God has given us. So I think it's so important for us to see the big picture when we're dealing with our health and realize it's not just about this. It's not just about this moment that we're in. It's about the long game. It's about not just earth, but eternity too, and how the decisions we make now impact both.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So y'all might want to rewind this and just, is that a thing? Rewind? Do we even say that anymore?
Yeah.
Go backwards. Buffer backwards, whatever.
Right. There you go.
And listen to this, because it's true. And it's definitely the heart of our mission with Holy Healthy Christian Moms, is helping people to understand that we are the house of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, the health and the healing needs to be a part of every day. Because that's where he does his work, and inside us. And then whatever's on the inside oozes out to the outside.
Exactly. And what I think I had to realize is that there does come a point in any journey we're on where we have to invite someone else in that God has already gifted and has already equipped with the tools that we don't have. I'm like, if I knew how to navigate this myself, I would have done it by now, but I don't. And sometimes we have to have some skin in the game. So any type of investment we have to make into really doing that, it shows a commitment level. And it's that skin in the game to say, I am serious about this. And it took me all those years to get to a point where I did not have a solution anymore that I needed. I didn't expect God to say, you need a Christian health coach. I'd never even heard of it. I didn't even think it existed. I didn't know what that was. I'm literally just walking. And this is the value of spending time with God and being in his presence and just, like, okay, God, I don't know what to do. Like, it's okay to tell God, I do not know what to do. He's like, perfect, my turn, right? And the value of that moment where he comes in and he's like, okay, well, I had a solution for you like 10 years ago, but you didn't ask. And now that you're asking, here you go, a Christian health coach, you know? So even if someone is listening to this and, you know, this isn't like an ad or anything, I just feel like it's so important, because the transformation that I experienced did not come by way of Rachel coming up with it or Rachel trying something random. It came by way of me inviting God in. And it just so happened that the solution he had was way better than all the solutions I had tried for the last 20 years. So if someone is listening to this, it's probably connected to the solution to the very problem that they have been experiencing that they don't have a solution for. So I just want to encourage people there.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. You know, and scripture literally tells us to boast in our weaknesses. Because that is when God's peace and his character can become perfect. So as long as we're sitting there like, oh, I got it, I can, whatever. He's like, okay. But then when you humble yourself and you're like, I can't do this. He's like, okay, perfect. Now I get to be perfect.
Now I get to, yes. And those are the best moments, because he's way smarter than us. So.
Yeah, or even the fact, like, what he's highlighted to me over and over and over again, and I think one of the reasons too why he had Aaron and I come together in this partnership, is how we are not meant to be solo, like, in things. So to me, it makes sense that when we are struggling with something, like, I hear, and I know Aaron hears all the time, like, I know what I need to do, I'm just not doing it. And it's like, exactly, like, that's the point where God is like, I'm inviting you to actually do this in community. You are not necessarily meant to do it solo and on your own, like this island, like, and especially because it is, you know, it is spiritual warfare, things around our body image, our relationship with food, especially because food is like one of those acceptable addictions, because clearly we have to eat, you know, and, right. And so it's so easy to actually not see the spiritual warfare side. And we, like, yes, we have Jesus. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but we are not meant to do life alone. We are not meant to do that battle alone.
And, you know, the interesting thing about that I want to add is I did have a friend who we would talk about our weights and try different things together. And I'm not saying that it wasn't helpful at moments, but it wasn't the solution. You know, I think we look for accountability, but accountability isn't always what we need. Sometimes we need counsel. Sometimes we need someone to step in to who's already walked the journey. I like to say you can't release what you don't first carry. So it's kind of like my friend and I, it was the blind leading the blind. We were both in the same struggle. We're trying to lead each other out and it was not working. It was great conversation, but it wasn't working versus, you know, you all have walked through your own journeys and now you carry what needs to be released to someone like me or someone else with an addiction to help me walk through it and to help me get to the other side of it. And I think that's what's needed more than just the accountability piece of it in relationship. Now, if you have a friend who's like, hey, we both need a person to step ahead of us, then I'd say, okay, go for it. But I came to a point even with that friendship where I was like, I don't want to talk about weight anymore. We have been friends for 20 years and neither one of us are consistent with our weight loss. This is not doing anything. What is the next step to actually see consistency with it? So that was an aha moment for me too. I'm like, we're not getting anywhere. So not what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good. So this is a Wellness Legacy series. So we would love to hear how you have seen God use your story and what you've walked through to establish a legacy of wellness for your family. Just knowing as moms, especially, we want to see that health flow down through the generations.
I love this part. I love this part. My kids are probably some of the healthiest kids you will meet from the perspective of they will eat like just about anything that I make. They'll try anything. And like when they're gone or they are out of town, they look for the healthier options. I was just at my son's banquet the other day and we were talking about what he eats. And it just amazes me how they watch and they pay attention. And when you put something in front of them to try, they may not like it the first couple of times, but when they see you eating it, I have a tendency to make stuff sound real good. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so good. Like this red pepper is amazing. And they're like, I want to try it. And they're just following my lead. And what I'll do, especially with my younger ones, it's a little bit easier because they're the ones that are growing up with me being the healthier version of me. What I'll do is I'll buy things for them to try and they're open to it. They're open to trying healthier options. And when they get in front of the things that aren't that healthy, my youngest son, he doesn't even really like candy. I'm like, and you're my child. He does not like candy because he's been around the part of my life where I'm not really big on sweets anymore. So I'm not introducing him to that. I'm introducing him to the healthier thing. That's always been something big for me is I want my kids to know healthy. We put a little gym downstairs in our house because I want them to know the habit of exercise. I didn't grow up with that habit, but that doesn't mean my children don't have to grow up with it. So I want them to know a life where they're seeing their children, they're seeing me in the gym and it's a natural part of their life and not a forced thing like I'm having to work through. It's going to be natural for them. They're going to know, let me go to the gym, let me go for a walk. So I'm seeing already how going to an athletic banquet is amazing because that means my kids are athletic and I wasn't. So that's already a plus.
Yeah. I love that. Because Andrea and I talk a lot about generational curses and just because it's something that we learned in our life doesn't mean that we have to pass it down. So
exactly.
Yeah. And God actually calls us to break those things down and to live in accordance with Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So kind of wrapping up here in a sentence or two, how would you like to encourage a mom who is in the place that you used to be? You've kind of peppered that through the whole thing, but kind of put a little bow around it. What would you say to her?
I would say today is a great day to start. Mm-hmm. Take each day as its own day. And something Andrea said to me that I hold on to is don't compare yourself to the past version of you. Mm-hmm. Look at where you're at right now and move forward from there. Not compared to who you were, not compared to the weight you were when you were 14 or 15 or before you had a baby or all of that, but where you're at right now and where God is taking you, move forward from there.
Yeah.
I think that was three sentences, depending on where you put the period.
Yeah. That was so good. Yeah. Well, thank you, Rachel, so much for being on here with you and sharing your story. And for those of you that want to connect further with Rachel and just see all the amazing things that she has going on, we are dropping her links along with this podcast episode. So we really encourage you to check those out. So thank you again, Rachel. It was just such an honor and a joy.
Thank you so much for having me.
My prayer is that you are leaving this episode with more energy, more joy, and more peace than when you came to. Make sure to subscribe and share the Well Society podcast so that we can reach more driven yes women like you. Come join us in the Women at the Well Christian Health and Wellness Support Group on Facebook and subscribe to my email list to stay apprised of all upcoming events, programs, and coaching opportunities. If the content of this episode resonated with you and you'd like to speak with me about investing and working with me one-on-one or in the Well Society Intensive, please visit www.aaronkcoaching.com to schedule a complimentary fitting call. Until the next time we meet at this well, do well, be well, and feel well.